I am really, really excited to be back in Mark chapter 4. And last time we studied Mark chapter 4, we studied the first 20 verses. That was a large portion of Scripture, but that was the parable of the sower that we studied together. And in that portion of Scripture, we learned that we have to take very seriously listening to God's Word. I had hoped that you would write in your Bible, but you perhaps underlined a number of the places where it says to the one who hears. The word for hearing comes up again and again in these first 20 verses, but you see the necessity of doing that in verse 3 where Jesus is teaching them, and the first thing he says to them is listen. This whole passage of the parable of the sower is about listening. And we found that we have to be careful to listen to what God says, and we have to be dependent upon him for understanding what he says, and then we have to commit to do what he says. We have to listen carefully. We have to depend on him for understanding what we hear, and we have to commit to do the things that he says. Because we find there were a number of soils that perhaps heard what God had said, but in the end they were unfruitful. But there was only one soil that heard God's word and accepted it, and therefore it was fruitful. Verse 20 says that he bore fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So there were the people who heard God's word and accepted it, and therefore were fruitful. And then there were those who wouldn't hear it and accept it, and therefore they aren't fruitful. God's admonition for us through this passage is that we would hear his word and heed his word. Take it very seriously. Now in our passage of the morning, verses 21 through 25, my dear brothers in the Lord, let's consider the hidden message that the Lord wants us to catch. The hidden message that God wants us to catch. Let's pray as we consider this portion of God's word. Father, as we have prayed a number of times before, but it does not get old. We pray that you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray this in particular because of the portion of Scripture that is before us. We pray this because your word says again and again that you desire that your people would be those who have a listening ear, those who will be taught, those who will be disciples, learners of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we consider this important passage, we ask that our hearts would be open to receive your word, that each person here would individually be making that decision that they are ready to listen to your word this morning on this day. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I will never forget the day that my brother Tim learned how to throw a curveball. You know, I am a kid who loves the all-American sport of baseball, and I love to play catch. And I was blessed by having a backyard and having a park across the street from the house that I grew up in, so I could play catch wherever. And I love to play catch. I just love it. There's nothing like a leather glove and the ball and just feeling it, and I could do this all day, and I often do that. Well, so many years ago, when I was playing catch with my brother Tim, and he had recently learned how to throw a curveball, because he is older than I was, and he had been taught how to throw a curveball, and he said, "Now, Daniel, we're going to play catch, and I'm going to throw you a curveball," and I said, "Okay," not really understanding what that was, what that meant. So my brother Tim throws the ball, and I put out my glove like normal, expecting the ball to hit the glove and catch to happen as normal, but instead, the ball doesn't enter my glove. It instead drops, and it hits me in the shin. And in that moment, that favorite pastime of playing catch became very, very painful. You say, why was it so painful? Your brother told you he was throwing you a curveball. You should have figured it out. Well, I hadn't experienced that before. I didn't know how to catch a curveball. So in that moment, something that was so much fun to me became a great pain because I didn't know how to catch it. You know, we've been studying Mark chapter 4, God's word, where Jesus has been teaching his disciples. We saw that in verses 1 and 2 of Mark chapter 4, that he was in a boat. He was teaching them beside the sea. He taught them many things in parables, and teaching him, he said to them. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching them, as the passage says, in parables. And a parable is a form of speech where the point is below the surface. The point is not on the surface where it's easily understandable, but it's below the surface where you have to do a little bit of investigation to understand it. You could imagine that the religious leaders were keeping tabs on Jesus at that time, and perhaps they had sent their scouts to listen to what Jesus was teaching, and they heard Jesus tell this story of a sower who sowed seed in his field. And they returned to their religious leaders, and they reported Jesus was teaching. He talked about a sower sowing his seed. And certainly the religious leaders at that point thought, what good is your report? We can't accuse him of any bad thing because of that kind of story. He's just talking about someone throwing seed on the ground. That's no good. Go listen again. There has to be something else that he is saying. Because what does that mean? They didn't understand because the truth was hidden below the surface. Not only did those who opposed Jesus not understand what he was saying, but even those who followed him had a hard time understanding what Jesus was saying. So we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, that the disciples, when they were alone with Jesus, they asked Jesus about the parables. They want to understand. And this is the point of connection between us and those who heard Jesus back then. We many times don't exactly understand what Jesus is saying. For example, have you ever been to church, sat through a sermon, and left that church and left that sermon thinking, I don't know what that person was talking about. I just didn't get it. Or have you ever opened your Bible with perhaps your morning coffee and read a portion of Scripture, and when you came to the end of reading that portion of Scripture, you thought to yourself, what was that about? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. You know, in those times where we don't understand what God's Word has said, we may be tempted to think, you know, something is wrong, but it's really not me. I didn't mess up here. I didn't make any mistakes. I mean, as the saying goes, if the student doesn't learn, the teacher doesn't teach. It's not my fault that I didn't get anything out of the sermon. It's not my fault that I didn't get anything out of my time with the Lord. The problem must be with the preacher. The problem has to be with the Sunday school teacher. The problem has to be with this really old book, which is hard to understand. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25 teaches us that that is wrong thinking. Because the responsibility of communication doesn't entirely lie with the speaker. It doesn't entirely lie with the communicator. The responsibility is shared between the speaker and the listener. And if we're going to get the message that Jesus has for us, we're going to have to listen. And what I mean when I say we're going to have to listen, I'm not just saying that we need to be physically here and physically hearing the words coming into our ears. What I'm trying to say is that we need to desire to listen to him, and we need to allow what he says to sink into our hearts, to sink into our lives. This passage, just like the passage before it, is about listening. So you look in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, and you see it say, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. So very clearly, this passage is about listening again. It's about hearing. The commands that Jesus gives are about hearing. And to help us understand what Jesus is trying to teach us about listening, Jesus gives us two figures. The first is in verse 21. The second is in verse 24. The first figure is a lamp on a stand in verse 21. And the second figure is a measure in the marketplace, verse 24 there. And these figures are going to teach us why we should receive God's word, why we should listen. Because what we need to do as we look at this passage of Scripture, we need to realize that we have to commit to listening to God. We have to strive to get his message. So in verse 21 through 23, when God speaks, we had better listen. When God speaks, we had better listen, because just because the truth is below the surface in parables doesn't mean that God intends the truth to remain hidden. He has hidden these things in parables, but just because it is hidden doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to understand it. Instead, the hidden truth is meant to come to light. So we read in verse 21, and he said to them, "A lamp isn't brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Isn't it to be placed on a lampstand?" The meaning is quite clear. A lamp is meant to give as much light as possible. Therefore, you don't hide it under a basket. You don't hide it under a bed. Everyone can understand that. Instead, what you do is you put that lamp in a very prominent place in the room so that it can illumine the room. We all very quickly and easily understand that certain things have implicit use. Lamps are for lighting. Just as shoes are for walking, just as hammers are for hammering, pounding, just as cars are for driving, just as needles are for sewing, just as laundry baskets are, men, for your dirty socks, there are objects that have implicit use. And so Jesus draws upon this object here. The implicit use of a lamp is that it would give light. So you put it in a prominent place so that it can fulfill its implicit purpose. And Jesus is here explaining that the purpose of presenting the truth in parables is that those things that are hidden would come to light. So in verse 22 it says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So in verse 22, we see that the truth concealed in parables is meant to be revealed. You see that things that are hidden aren't supposed to be hidden forever. What is it if something is hidden forever? It's not hidden, it's lost. But this is hidden truth that is meant to be one day revealed. Just as a secret is supposed to come to light. Perhaps the question that was most difficult for me to understand in this passage is this: what in this passage is hidden? What is meant to be revealed? Commentators have a number of interpretations of what in this passage is hidden. Some people say that it is the fruitfulness in the life of the Christian that is hidden, and therefore from Matthew they would say that we need to let our light shine that people may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It is the life of the Christian that's hidden. Or perhaps it's the gospel that is hidden, so the way to apply this passage is that we need to present the gospel so that the gospel is brought to light. Other people are going to say that it is the kingdom of God that is hidden. So that needs to be made manifest. And in time and in God's dispensation, the kingdom of God will be revealed in its fullness. And some people would say that this passage, what is hidden, is the truth in parables. As I studied this passage, that's what I consider this passage to be about. Let me give you the very specific reason that I'm going to take it this way. In verse 10, says, "When they were alone, those around him, Jesus, with the 12, asked him about the parables." So the subject and topic of this passage are the parables. So you see in verse 11, "And he said to them." Verse 13, "And he said to them." Verse 21, "And he said to them." Verse 24, "And he said to them." So Jesus is answering what they asked him about. They asked him about parables, and he is answering them. So that's where I see it coming all together. The truth is that Jesus has been hidden in these parables. So what is that hidden truth? Well, he's actually revealed it to his disciples because he says to them in verse 11, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." You've received the secret. What is that secret? It's the secret that Jesus is the King of Kings. And the disciples actually understand that when the other people don't understand that. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is the king. We need to submit to him. But it says in verse 11, "But to those outside, everything is in parables." They don't understand that Jesus is the king. They don't understand that Jesus deserves their allegiance. That's hidden. So the question before us is, if God has hidden this truth in parables, does God really expect and hope that this truth will come to light? Or does the Lord want this truth to be hidden, to be the secret of the Pharisees, to not be shared with anyone? Instead, what this passage is trying to show us is that God's purpose is not to conceal the truth about himself. He does want to reveal this truth. He wants the truth that's hidden in parables to be found. He wants people to take great effort and great strides to search out the truth. He had said that those who don't care about it aren't going to spend any effort in trying to find it. So they won't. But he does desire that all who will work hard to find it, they will indeed find it. The hope is that it will be found out, not that it will be lost forever. This week, I get to celebrate the second birthday of my daughter. And perhaps not for her, because she'll only be 2 years old, but we all understand that when it's your birthday, or perhaps when it's Christmas and you receive a gift, you really enjoy that. You enjoy receiving gifts, and perhaps you really enjoy receiving a gift because it's a surprise to you. You like to be surprised. Some of you know how hard it is at times to surprise your spouse or to surprise your child who's so curious of what's in the closet. So, because we want our children or our spouse to be surprised, we go to great lengths so that they will be surprised. So, for example, you may have bought for your wife a piece of jewelry, and you think, you know, if I wrap this up as it is, she'll know immediately that it's jewelry, and it won't be a surprise. She'll just look at it the way it's wrapped and see the size, and she'll think, he got me some jewelry. There won't be a surprise at all. So you get really thoughtful and really creative, and you say instead that you're going to wrap it in something else so that when she looks at it, she won't know what it is. And then you perhaps think that you should get even more thoughtful, and you take the box that you've put the gift in, and you put it in an even larger box, and then you finally wrap that up. And you give this to your wife, and she doesn't have any clue that it's just a little itty-bitty box of jewelry. Perhaps she opens it and thinks, huh, you got me Girl Scout cookies. Actually not. It's even better than that. You see, when a giver does that, when he goes to great lengths to wrap a gift to surprise someone else, is his hope that the person never understands and never comes to discover what the gift is? No. He does want the person to figure out what's in the box. That's his whole point of wrapping it up. He wants it to be found. So in the passage before us, God has indeed hid truth in parables. But his point, his intention is not that it would stay hidden forever. He wants it to be found by all those people who will search for it. God, in sending his son Jesus Christ to this earth, he didn't want that to be kept a secret. He wanted it to be known. He wanted the hidden truth to be perceived. So that's why it says in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. God's not trying to keep a secret so that no one finds it out. Instead, God's desire is that we would get the message. And through these verses, God is not calling us to sit in church pews or to open our Bible in the morning with our coffee and just be exposed to God's word. God's call is not to exposure, but to investigation. God wants us to search. Haven't you heard someone else say, or perhaps you've said it yourself, I've read the Bible, but I just don't get it. Now, there are a number of ways that I could answer that kind of statement. I've read the Bible, but I just don't get it. You know, perhaps you don't understand what the Bible says because the Bible says that the natural man cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So the reason you don't understand the scriptures is because you have not yet been converted. But if you have been converted, or perhaps just to show it in a different case, there are times that the scriptures is open before us and we just don't understand because we need someone to help us. And the Bible tells us that there are many things in the scriptures that are difficult to understand. And we need assistance. And so we can look at Acts chapter 8. And we see where the Ethiopian opened the scriptures, the scroll to Isaiah. And he didn't understand what it meant. But God sent to him Philip. And Philip explained to him what the scriptures meant. So sometimes we don't understand what the scriptures are. Some may because they don't know the Lord or because they need assistance to help them understand. But if someone truly knows the Lord, and if someone is being taught the scriptures, yet they go to the Bible and they say, you know what, I still just don't understand it. I have this question for you. Are you really making an effort to get the message? I mean, how hard are you working at listening? How hard are you really striving to understand when you read your Bible? Are you really thinking that you are going to find something when you have your devotions? This passage is saying that there is truth to be found. We're not just digging in the dirt, hoping that we'll find something when there's actually nothing. God is not tricking us into looking when there's actually nothing to find. He has hidden truth there, and we have to search for it. So that's why we read the scriptures. That's why we reread the scriptures. That's why even this week as I studied this passage, I thought to myself, I still have to come to understand what this means. Lord, will you help me understand this? We pray in the midst of our Bible study. We pray in the midst of sermons that we'll understand what God is trying to say to us. We, just like the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, we say to the Lord, help us understand the parables. We need help. There is truth to be found. Help us find it. We seek and search for it. So if we come up empty when we read God's word, it is not God's fault. It's not that God didn't speak, it's that we haven't heard. Let me at least encourage you within in your personal time with the Lord. You may read God's word, and you may come to the end of it and say, I think I understand what it says, but I don't exactly understand all that it means for me yet. Just because you don't have light bulbs going off every morning doesn't mean that you're not grasping more and more of what God has said. You have to continue to expose yourself to God's word. Every day is not going to be an amazing new thought, but God uses our continual search to draw us closer to the truth. And he desires that we would do that because he has communicated our responsibility is to hear. When God speaks, we had better listen. You say, how important is that we listen? It is extremely important because verses 24 and 25 teach us that when God speaks, we are accountable for our listening. We're accountable for our listening. God is actually evaluating how each one of us, even right now, is listening to his word. So God is actually going to reward us based on that. So he says in verse 24, and he tells us exactly what true listening requires, that it requires our diligent effort. Because he commands us in verse 24, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. He's telling us exactly how well we need to listen, how much effort we must give to our listening. We need to pay attention to what you hear. In the original, it's just three words. And the words are, see what you hear. See what you hear. And I think that's a beautiful way to mix the senses there. It's to say this, see with the mind's eye what you're hearing. Understand what you're hearing. Perceive what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. This is not a command to hear what you hear. This is a command to see it, to understand it, and to apply what you hear. That is to say, true listening is going to go far beyond being able to repeat what someone says. Sometimes with our children, we say that, did you hear me? Repeat to me what I said, and they repeat what you said. This is far beyond that. And this is actually far beyond being able to explain what you heard. Well, this is what I heard, and this is what that means. It's much more than just being able to explain it. It's actually applying what you hear in God's word. So the Bible instructs parents to teach their children God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible tells us and commands us, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Now, we can quote that verse, but that doesn't mean we've listened to it. We could explain and give great detail of how we could do that this week in our houses, but that doesn't mean that we've truly listened. We have only come to truly listen when we actually obey what it says. When today and for the rest of the week, parents, we diligently teach our children. That's when we've truly heard. That's when we've truly paid careful attention. That is true listening. And that kind of listening takes very diligent effort. But let's be encouraged, because that kind of true listening is going to get a return. Look at verse 24, the second portion. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. This is the second figure that is brought up in this passage, the measuring instrument here. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you. This is something that would be used in the marketplace when someone would buy goods. A measure would be placed upon a scale, and then the product that one was going to perfect would be placed on the other side of that scale, and it would be bought with the measuring scales. The story has been told of a baker and a butcher who, instead of charging each other for their goods, they instead decided to trade goods without the use of money. So what they would do is a pound of meat for a pound of flour. In the course of their bartering, the story is told that the butcher confronted the baker and basically said, you know what? The pound of flour you're giving me isn't a real pound. It's not a full pound. You're cheating me. And the baker responded to the butcher by saying, you know, in my shop, I actually don't have a weight scale. All that I have is a balance. So I put your pound of meat on one side of the balance, and I put the pound of flour to give to you on the other side, and I just weigh it out and I give it to you. So the point is very clear. How you measure, it will be measured to you. That is to say, God is going to match what he gives us with your desire to listen, to receive what he's saying. God is evaluating how each one of us is listening this morning. And if you're not interested in listening, he's not going to give you much. If you are very interested in listening, be very encouraged, because he is going to give that back to you in kind, in measure. If you came here looking for a lot, you will get a lot. He will reward that. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you. And certainly it is the hungry who are filled. Furthermore, as we end that verse, we see that God is actually ready to give even more, because the passage says, still more will be added to you. So for a moment there, we were about ready to say that God will give us just to the proportion that we're willing to listen. But we also see here that God is so gracious. We come thinking, well, Lord, give me this much. And the Lord just dumps so much more, because he sees us come with our hands ready to receive. The Lord is so gracious to us. That should be a great encouragement. We may not be the best and the brightest, but when we come, he is ready to give to us, and he's actually ready to give us even more. What a gracious and glorious God we serve. The last thing we learn in verse 25 is that God is going to reward how we value what we've received, what we already have. God is going to reward how we value what we've received. Verse 25, for to the one who has, not talking of the measure here and that being balanced out, but to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So this verse is talking about the body of truth that we currently have. However you want to picture it in your mind's eye. All that truth that you've accumulated over the years of Sunday school sermons, family devotions, perhaps Bible school, personal reading and study, all of that truth that you have, God is evaluating how much you value that knowledge. And if you value what you've heard, and if you continue to hear God, he will continue to give you more and more. But if you don't value what you've heard, even what you have, he'll take away. Say, what does that mean? I'll try to be as practical as I can. That means no one leaves his personal devotions or his family devotions or his Sunday school or his Sunday morning sermon the same as he came in. You don't come here and hear God's word and leave unchanged. Either God has given you more, or from what you already have, he has taken away. You never go out even in neutral. Either you gain something more because of how you value his word, or you don't care about his word, you don't value his word, and even what you have is taken away. You say, what's that? That's an illustration of so many children who grow up in a religious setting. They go to church, they learn the verses, they learn the catechisms perhaps, they learn the songs, and then they graduate and they leave everything. You say, how did that happen? They received so much of God's word, that's right, but they didn't value God's word. And in time, we wonder, why are they so godless? Because God has just taken everything that they value away because they didn't care about God's word. Even of those who have not, God will take that away from them. You say, is that a very dangerous situation? It is. That is a very, very dangerous situation. Way to illustrate this. Some of the folks who are more mature here have hearing aids, and those help you because through the years you've lost the ability to hear. And you know that sometimes it's frustrating when you can't understand the things happening around you, so you may from time to time actually turn off your hearing aids so you don't hear anything. And you just kind of tune out. Now, some people do that, and you never know that they're doing that. You know, they can do as they please to help their saneness with how hard it is to go without hearing. I understand that. What this passage is saying is this: we better not tune out God. Because if we tune out God, he will take away the truth that we already have. What he's calling us to do is to tune in so that he'll give us more. This passage is trying to say that communication is a two-way street, and it requires one to speak and one to listen. Just like when you play catch, one person is throwing, and he can throw a curveball, but the other person has to take the effort to catch it. It takes two. It takes two with the communication of God's word. God is promising in this passage to reveal truth. He doesn't want truth to remain secret. He wants it to be found. God is not the one at fault in this passage. He wants people to know the truth of Jesus Christ, that he is the king, that we all must submit to him. But it is the listener who has to respond. Why should we do that? Because there is truth to be found, first. And secondly, because God is so gracious to reward us with more and more if we will just listen. So be encouraged. As we study God's word, as we come on a Sunday morning, as we go to our personal devotions, there is something to be found. And God will just reward us so much more greatly as we seek his truth. So let's be diligent to do that. Let's pray. Father, as we close, we do pray that we would be serious to consider your words, understanding of our responsibility in this whole communication process, that we catch the hidden message of your word, because you desire that we'd find it, and how gracious you are to give us ears to hear. So, Father, from day to day, we pray that we would, with great zeal, pursue you, pursue to know you better, even as Peter says in the letter, that we should grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, may we do that. May you give us the grace to do that. May we understand the seriousness of doing that, and the great calamity that will come if we fail to do that. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.